Bibles and turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. The title of my message this morning is To Have Faith. And the text for this message is John chapter 6, verses 60 through 69. But before we start this message and we start looking at God's Word, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for all that You do. We thank You for Your gift of salvation. We thank You for forgiveness of sins. We thank You for Your grace and mercy. We thank You, Lord, for just the ability, Lord, to come into Your house and worship You. Father, help us, Lord, to be here to worship. Father, I ask that You just bind Satan on our behalf. Father, let Your Holy Spirit have full reign. Let the truth of Your Word spread through this place, Lord, and dwell in our hearts. And it change us. Help us, Lord, to make decisions for You. Father, if someone does not know You as Savior, does not know that they would spend an eternity in heaven, Lord, today I pray that this would be their day of salvation. Lord, I just ask that You just help us, Lord, today to be attentive to Your Word and that we would honor it. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In way of introduction, John chapter 6 starts with Christ feeding the thousands. After He feeds them, He goes over the Sea of Galilee to Capernaum. The crowd looks for, they come back out to that place and they find Jesus gone. They wanted a free lunch. And so they said, well, He went across. And so they came and they asked some questions. They say, Rabbi, why are you over here? Okay? See, God's going to be where God wants to be, not where you want Him to be.
Amen.
That's the first thing. And then the other thing was, is that what can we do to work the works of God? No, you can't be like God, but God can work through you. And the issue was there is that they wanted more bread. They wanted another lunch. And there was this big discussion over this thing. They said, well, Moses gave us manna for 40 years. No, Moses didn't give you manna. God did for 40 years. And they were kind of challenging Jesus and say, well, You just did this one thing. They've forgotten all the other things that Jesus had done. So they said, hey, what can we do to work the works of God? Jesus says, believe. Believe that I am who I say I am. And then they go on and they ask some more questions, and Jesus goes into the synagogue. He continues this story on bread and manna. And He gets up in the temple and He proclaims, He says, I am the bread of life. If you come unto Me, you'll never hunger again. Then He goes on further and He says, My flesh is the bread. My blood is the water. He says, unless you eat of My flesh and drink of My blood, you will have no part in the kingdom of heaven. And their minds went, what's He talking about? And everybody starts to murmur and starts to complain. And He says this, He says, verse 57, He says, as the living Father have sent Me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth Me, even he shall live by Me. What are you talking about? This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. Be that he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. And it says here in verse 59, it says, these things taught, said He in the synagogue, as He taught in Capernaum. Now, if you were in that crowd and you heard what you would consider outlandish statements, all these crowds are following Christ and they hear Him make this outlandish statement about eating His flesh and drinking His blood. It gets us to where we are in verse 60. And in verse 60 it says, many therefore of His disciples. Now, disciples were not necessarily those that believed. They were people that were just following Christ. They were understanding that He was healing and doing all this other stuff. They were knowing who He was, but they didn't know Him. It says, many thereof as disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? Does this bother you? Does this make you feel uncomfortable? Verse 62, what and if ye shall see the Son of Man, referring to himself, ascend up where he was before? Now, you thought that eating flesh and blood was bad, was way out there. This is even more out there, okay? It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore say I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. And then look at what happens in verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They weren't disciples at all. They were there for the free lunch. They were there to see the, they were on the bandwagon effect. They were there to get all this stuff and to see these miracles. But they didn't want the miracle to happen in their life. So the crowd dwindles away. Jesus is still in the synagogue. His disciples are with him, some others with him too. So in verse 67 he says, then Jesus said unto the 12, will ye also go away? Are you going to follow the crowd? Are you going to go where they go? Are you offended too? It says, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. You know something? Faith is hard. Faith is hard. The following letter was found in a baking powder can wired to the handle of an old pump that offered the only hope of drinking water on a very long and seldom used trail across Nevada's Armagosa Desert. Here's what the letter said. This pump is all right as of June 1932. I put a new sucker washer into it, and it ought to last 5 years. But the washer dries out, and the pump has got to be primed. Under the white rock, I buried a bottle of water. Out of the sun, cork end up. There's enough water in it to prime the pump, but not if you drink some first. Pour out 1/4 and let her soak in to wet the leather. Then pour in the rest medium fast and pump like crazy. You'll get water. The well has never run dry. Have faith. When you get watered up, fill the bottle and put it back like you found it for the next fellow. Signed, Desert Pete. P.S. Don't go drinking the water first. Prime the pump with it, and you'll get all you can hold. There's wisdom in that.
Amen.
We do what is necessary first to do what God wants us to do. He gives us the water. And then we're going to have more than we thought possible. And then we need to leave that faith behind for somebody else. But you know something? Faith is hard. It's hard to pick up that bottle out of the underneath the rock when you're thirsty in the desert and say, I got to pour that in there to get more out. Faith is hard. Faith is hard. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, it says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. See, what we see here in verse 60, we see that faith was hard to hear. Faith was hard to hear. It says, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, Paul is writing the Jews, the same group of people that was here. And he says this, he's about ready to go into another expose about Christ and the priest of Melchizedek. And he says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. See, the reason sometimes that we're hard of hearing, it's hard to hear, is because we're hard of hearing. We don't want to listen. When we hear something that doesn't line up with what was in our mind, and say, oh, I don't understand this, I'm just going to go on my way. Peter writes of Paul in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16, it says, and also in all his epistles, talking about Paul's letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things, what? Hard to be understood. Which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. See, no one in that crowd that day really understood anything. Because Christ even goes to his disciples and says, does this offend you? Are you feeling the same way? Folks, I know that all of us go through times of where faith is hard. Christ talks about a faithless generation. We are living in a faithless generation. Christ is going to come back, and he's going to say, when he comes back, when the Son of Man comes back, will he find what? Faith on earth. Faith is hard. And sometimes the requirements of faith are hard to hear. They're hard to hear sometimes because we're dull of hearing. They're hard to hear sometimes because we just don't want to understand. Because faith takes some sacrifice. It says, as they do also the other scriptures unto their what? Own destruction. Folks, without faith in Christ, you have the wrath of God abiding on you right now. And if you pass into eternity, you will go to an eternity in hell. God doesn't want it that way, but that's the way it is. But if you believe on Him, you'll have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Amen. You know, for some people, that's hard to hear. But eternity is at stake. So faith is hard. Sometimes the things that we read in God's Word, sometimes we pray and we get some counsel, those are hard things to do. Not only are they hard to hear, but faith is also hard to follow at times. Faith is hard to follow. He says, who can hear it? Okay? He says, now, in verse 61, he says, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured. That word for murmur is exactly what the nation of Israel did when they were brought out of captivity in Egypt. God brings them out with a high hand. They get to the Nile River. They get to the Red Sea. They get to the Red Sea, and here's Pharaoh's army coming. And they murmured and they complained and said, we're all going to die! And yet God made a way. They go out into the desert. There's no water. We're all going to die! And then God provides water. They go out and they run out of food. We're all going to die! God provides them food. And every time they murmured, they said, why'd you bring us out in this desert? They go and they wind up having people come out and fight them. We're all going to die. And then God said, folks, it's hard to follow. You know, sometimes we know exactly what God does. We hear it. But we don't want to do it.
Right.
We're murmuring. Faith is hard. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Christ tells them all. And he said to them all, this is not just for me, this is for all of us. He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Give up the way you're thinking and get on God's way of thinking. Have the mind of Christ. Read the scripture. Say, I'm going to do this. And take up his cross daily. Once again, I'm going to encourage you. church is just not the only time you do things for God. Right. Sunday is not the only time you live for God. Right. We live for God every day. He says, take up his cross daily. That's something that God has you to do. Maybe hard to hear. Maybe hard to do. But God's got a special purpose for every one of us. We need to deny ourselves and not murmur. And then take up our cross daily and follow him. But that's hard. Sometimes it's hard to wake up in the morning. Sometimes it's hard to find your Bible and pray in the morning. Sometimes it's hard to do that. Paul struggled with it. He wrote an entire chapter in Romans chapter 7 about it. He says, I know what I need to do, but I find it hard to do. I know what I should do, but I find that very easy to do. You know, we talked last week about Christ taking his disciples up to the garden and say, pray with me while I go yonder. He comes back, he finds them all asleep. He says, the spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. It's hard. In Romans chapter 7, verse 19, it says, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. See, it's hard to hear the message of faith at times. It's hard to comprehend it. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. You want to do what? You want me to do what? Yep. I'm sure some of these missionaries that we had come through here, you want me to go where? Yep. And then it's hard to follow. Thirdly, faith is hard because it's hard to persevere. In verse 62, he says this. He says, what an if? What an if? You know what that means? It means someone won't make it. A few will, but not everybody gets there. He says, what an if? Ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before. Christ talks about the parable of the seed and the sower. And we know that the seed is the word of God. And the first one is stony ground and it gets all snatched up. The second one is shallow ground. And the seed's gone in, and then what happens is you know what happens. Have you seen those commercials about the seed and it's got the coating on it, it grows on a concrete block? And you go, wow, that's kind of neat, but it won't stay there that long. When all that nutrient fuses out, it's dead. But Mark chapter 4, verse 17, it says this, it says, and have no root in themselves. See, faith, you have root in yourself. Have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. That's what these disciples did when they heard this hard saying. They left. The crowd left. When affliction or persecution arises for the what sake?
Word.
The word's sake. Immediately they are offended. The same word. The same word. See, it's hard to persevere in adversity. It's hard to persevere when you're by yourself at times. It's hard to persevere when there's just you and God, but that's enough. That's enough. In John chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus is talking to the crowd again. He says, then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, if ye want, continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. All these dudes here in John 6, they were disciples in word only. They weren't in disciples indeed because they didn't continue. Folks, we need to continue. We need to take our cross up daily and follow him. We need to deny ourselves daily and follow him. Faith's hard. Sometimes it's hard to hear what God wants us to do. Sometimes it's hard to follow what God wants us to do. But that's the right path. Remember Pilgrim's Progress? Great book on that, about endurance. Sometimes it's hard to persevere. So here's the good news. You know, every time that we see something that's hard to do, we find out that Christ already provides the mechanism to succeed. Help from God is required. See, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God. Our choice, our challenge is to believe it. To hear it, to understand it, to believe it. See, help from God is required. You can't do the things God wants you to do unless you have God. You can try, but I guarantee you will fail. Just like this one that had no root in themselves. Help from God is required to deal with the trials that we're going through. And I will tell you right now, there are a lot of trials going on amongst people in this church. There's a lot of trials going on in your neighborhood. There's a lot of trials going on in our country right now. Paul, he's on his way back to Jerusalem. Everybody's saying, don't go there. Don't go there. There's a lot of bad stuff happening to you. He gets there to Jerusalem. He causes a riot. He winds up being thrown in prison. And then he's allowed to give his defense before King Agrippa after 2 years of being in prison. Faith's hard. It's hard to follow God. I'm not going to say it's easy. In this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. All that live godly will suffer persecution.
Right.
So in Acts chapter 26, verse 22, Paul's talking to King Agrippa. And he says this, having therefore obtained what?
Help
of God. I continue unto this day.
Amen.
He said, people try to kill me, but I'm still here.
Right.
People try to frustrate me, but I'm still here. People try to discourage me, but I'm still here.
Amen.
Because God helps me.
Amen.
I obtain help of God. I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets of Moses did say to us to come. Message doesn't change. Our faith has to grow. So help from God is required to deal with trials. Help from God is easily available. In James chapter 3, verse 17, we already know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But it says here, it says in James 3, 17, it says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceful, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. See, you want something? Ask God. He knows exactly what you need. But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. So help from God is required. Verse 63, it says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. It's not you. You can't bring yourself back. You can't change your spirit. God can.
Amen.
The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Folks, it's time to start following God's word. God's word is easily available. God's wisdom is easily available. It's easy to be entreated. And help from God is required to be successful. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says here, it says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Through the knowledge of Him. You can't know God unless you know His Word. You can't know God unless you have faith. And faith is hard. It's hard to follow. It's hard to persevere. It's hard. It's hard to keep going at times. But it's worth it.
Amen.
We get too wound up into the things going around right now. We forget the end goal.
Right.
The end goal is eternity with Christ. The end goal is to be glorifying with God. The end goal is to work for those treasures where thieves don't break through and steal and our moths corrupt. It's according as His divine power has given us, unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So faith is hard. But the sad thing about it, those fakes are all around. Some time ago in Long Beach, California, a fellow went into a fried chicken place and bought a couple of chicken dinners for himself and his date late one afternoon. The young woman at the counter inadvertently gave him the proceeds from the day, a whole bag of money, much of it cash, instead of fried chicken. After driving to their picnic site, the two of them sat down to open the meal and enjoy some chicken together. They discovered a whole lot more than chicken, over $800. But he was unusual. He quickly put the money back in the bag. They got back into the car and drove all the way back. Mr. Clean got out, walked in, and became an instant hero. By then, the manager was frantic. The guy with the bag of money looked at the manager in the eye and said, I want you to know that I came in to get a couple of chicken dinners and wound up with all this money here. Well, the manager was thrilled to death. He said, oh, great, let me call the newspaper. I'm going to have your picture put in the local newspaper. You're the most honest man I've heard of. To which the guy quickly responded, oh, no, don't do that. Then he leaned over and whispered, you see the woman that I'm with, it's not my wife. She's someone else's wife. So we can look good on the outside but be fake. And here's the problem, is there's a lot of people that are fake right now. He says, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. See, God knows. God knows. You also know too. There's only two people that know on earth your faith status. That's you and God. You can't fool either one. You know where you are in your walk with God. And God knows where you are in your walk with God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, it says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. God also shows this. God also shows this. He says in verse 65, he says, therefore said I unto you, that no man could come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. It says, from that time, many of his disciples walked back and walked no more with him. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, John, first of all, in this chapter, he talks about the Antichrist and the spirit of Antichrist. And then he talks about people. He also calls out some people later on and says, concerning faith, made shipwreck. They look good, but they didn't. Paul talks about Demas. He starts out good, but in the end, he's bad. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, it says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. But they went out that they might be made what? Manifest that they were not all of us. Folks, if you're living a lie, fix that today. God will forgive that. God will forgive. Well, I can't do that. Get rid of your pride. Faith is a hard thing. It's hard to hear. It's hard to follow. It's hard to persevere. But help's here. Help's here through God. There's fakes all around. God knows and God shows. But you know something? There's a follow-on question here in verse 67. Here's the disciples that Christ has called out by name. They've walked with Him for now going on a couple years. And He asked them this question. He said, will ye also go away? Folks, don't let this be the last time that you're in church. Don't go away. Don't turn your back on God. Don't backslide. That was Israel's problem. We need to stay true. My faith is hard. I know it is. But stay the course. Paul talks about pressing toward the mark. Paul talks about running the race, looking unto Jesus. It's hard. It's hard. It's hard. Here's my question for us this morning. Would you go away to a change in circumstances? Or will stay faithful to God? Change in a work schedule, change in a job, change in your financial status. What would it take to make you walk away from God? And if there's something that would do that, that's your God.
Right.
Not God.
That's right.
Will you also go away due to a change in circumstances, due to a change in heart? The psalmist says in Psalm 57, verse 7, he says, my heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. You know, we have so many people, politicians especially, have a change of heart. That's not what I said. Yes, it is. It's right there on YouTube. It's right there in video. That's not what I meant. What do you mean? you mean? Folks, it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. God knows our heart. Our heart condemns us not. We know that we have confidence with God. So he asks his disciples this question. He says, will you also go away? Later on in the end of that chapter, he actually gives us an insight that he knows about Judas. But he already knew about Judas in the first place. Would you go away from God if your circumstances changed? When things go well, are you a fair weather Christian? What happens when things get tough? When other people have a change in heart, is your heart fixed? Is your heart fixed? So we see that faith is hard. We see that there are fakes all around, and that can discourage us and cause us to turn away too. We see this question that Christ asked us, and we need to say, affirm every day, no, I will not go away. We will continue. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. So in verses 68 through 69, as I close, faith, there's a faith-filled answer here. In verse 68, we see that a decision was made. Then Simon Peter answered and said, he starts off with this, because Christ says, will you also go away? And Peter says, where else am I going to go? Where else are you going to go to find God? It better be a Bible-preaching church. It better be His Word. If you're going someplace else, you're not going to find it.
Right.
You're not going to find it. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, it says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I committed unto Him against that day. Peter says, to whom will I go? We say, where should I go but to the Lord? Where could I go but to the Lord? Folks, God's got all the answers for you. Christ has all the answers. He has the answer for your eternity today. Come to Him. He's got the answer for the trials that you're going through. It gives you wisdom. Come to Him today. It was a decision that was made. It was a direction that was determined. He says this. He says, and He says, because thou hast the words of eternal life. In Romans chapter 6, verse 22, it says, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the what? And everlasting life. Folks, we need to start looking on the end. We need to start looking to the end. Christ is coming back. He's coming back quickly. The end is coming. Christ keeps on giving parables about being ready, being ready, being ready, being ready. Are we ready? Are we ready? It's a direction that's determined. You're free from sin. You're a servant of God. You have your fruit to what? Holiness. And the end, everlasting life. Well, lastly, there's a declaration proclaimed. In verse 69, it says, and we believe and are what? Sure. Are you sure of God today? Are you sure of God for salvation? Are you sure of God for direction? Are you sure of your faith in Him? Amen. 1 John chapter 4, verse 15 says, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Amen. A faith-filled answer. Folks, we need a faith-filled answer because faith is hard at times. It's hard to hear, and it's hard to follow, and it's hard to persevere. And we know that God's got help on the way. Don't be a fake. Don't be a fake. Understand that God's looking at us and wondering what we're going to be doing. He knows what we're going to be doing. But do we know? But do we know? In Mark chapter 11, verse 22, Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. The previous day, they'd walked into Jerusalem, and there was a fig tree on the side of the road that should have had figs but didn't have figs. And then Christ said, "Let no man eat of the fruit thereof forever." They go in, they come back out. As they walk back out, the fig tree is dead, withered up by the roots. And Peter says, "Ah, look at the fig tree." God says, "Yeah, I know about that. Yeah, I know about that." And he basically says, "Have faith in God." Folks, what do you need God to do in your life today? Have faith in God. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask that you be with this time of invitation. Father, help us, Lord, make decisions for you. Father, if someone does not know you, if they spend eternity in heaven, Lord, I pray that they would realize that you died on the cross for their sin, you were buried, you rose the third day. You took the penalty of sin away from us. And he's basically waiting for us to ask for forgiveness of sins from you, and that you give us the gift of eternal life. Lord, I pray as someone here that does not know you, that they would pray that prayer. Lord, forgive me of my sins. I know you died on the cross for me, and save me and become my Lord. Lord, for us as Christians, Lord, are we having a struggle in faith? Help us to come back to you. Help us, Lord, increase our faith. Help us, Lord, to be more like you in all that we do. Change us, Lord, for your glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.